Would you join me in prayer? Father, thank you. Thank you for nourishing us with these elements. Thank you for giving us your grace. Thank you for giving us your mercy. Thank you for giving us your Son. And now we turn our hearts to hear from your word. We need to hear from you. Lord, in a time when we look around us and we see tragedy like this past week, God, in plane crashes, in things that remind us that this world is not the way you intend, may you lift our hearts with hope to believe and to trust that because of the cross of Calvary, we can believe that while it is not all it shall be, it is on the way to all that you would have it to be, and that we can trust you. So would you allow us today to listen with ears, to hear what you want to say to each one of us individually at the heart level, and may we be changed by what we hear. In Christ's name, amen. Well, again, I'm so glad that you're joining us, whether you're online or in person for this week. It's Vision Sunday for us, and what we're doing is in just a little bit, after the message, we're going to move into our annual congregational meeting. And so what that's going to mean is that we'll have all of you who are covenant partners or members, you'll be voting today on things like officers and looking at our budget and thinking about where God is taking us. But before we do that, I want to share just a little, just briefly, some words that have kind of been resonating with me over the last few months as I think about where we're headed. To do that, we're going to look at a passage of scripture that's found in the Old Testament. It's in Deuteronomy chapter 1. And what I'm going to do is read this passage of scripture to you. Then I'm going to make some comments and talk to you a little bit about where we've been and where we're headed. And then I'm going to leave you with an opportunity to respond. And so as we do this, if you want to turn in your Bible or on your device to Deuteronomy 1, we're going to be reading 1 through 9, and I'm going to cut out a few parts here. I'm going to kind of compress it a little bit and make sure you still get the meaning, but I want you to hear this as God's word, not just through Moses to his people, but through him to you and me right here where we find ourselves today. Deuteronomy chapter 1 says this. These are the words that Moses spoke to all Israel in the wilderness east of the Jordan. It takes 11 days to go from Horeb to Kadesh Barnea by the Mount Seir road. Verse 6. The Lord our God said to us at Horeb, "You have stayed long enough at this mountain. Break camp and advance into the hill country of the Amorites. Go to all the neighboring peoples in the Arabah, in the mountains, in the western foothills, in the Negev and along the coast, to the land of the Canaanites and to Lebanon, as far as the great river, the Euphrates. See, I have given you this land. Go in and take possession of the land the Lord swore he would give to your fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and to their descendants after them." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. This title of this message is called Break Camp and Advance. And for me, this is a powerful and an important concept for us to consider as we kind of start off on 2025 together. 2024 was a really great year. By all counts and by all means, God was up to so much good in our church called St. Andrew's, this little outpost of the kingdom that he's created and set apart to reach the community he's placed us in. And if you remember, maybe you've been around here for a while, the last few years have kind of felt like a little bit of a... Every church in the country had some difficult years from 2020 on. We had our own set of challenges, and it seems to me that as I reflect back over the last couple, it feels like God has given us this reprieve. You know, we've had a chance to kind of heal and recover, to rest and be prepared. And in spite of that, and in the middle of that sort of rest, that pause, while he let us get healthy again, he's been doing some things that look like momentum. like this last year in 2024, just a couple of things. And you can find everything I'm going to say and more in our annual report. You can grab a physical copy when you leave, or you got an email this week that has the electronic copy. But just let me give you a few of the things that have happened. This past year, we baptized over 40 people, and that's awesome. But and what I love about it is that half of them were infants and half of them were believers. So God's at work both in calling families to himself and at calling people to choose to follow Jesus wholeheartedly. Because of God's faithfulness to our church and your obedience and investment, we ended up this past year $1.2 million above budget for contributions and income. Amazing, amazing. This last year, we had hundreds of people go through our discipleship kind of foundational thing called the Path that helps people to learn how to follow Jesus. Hundreds went through the Path. We had 90 kids finish Bible 1 and 2. So in the metrics that matter in church world, you know, babies, baptisms, budgets, and Bible, we did pretty good. It was a really good year. On top of that, we had several of you step up to be a part of our Strong Families initiative to come around and play foster homes or foster support for the most vulnerable among us. We're sending a team like this to go and do exactly what we believe is part of our mission in loving our community, to reach the vulnerable people, those who've never heard the gospel, and to bring shalom into the city. You guys did that. I mean, just these last few weeks, from raising money for fire victims, to creating and donating 250 move-in kits to families displaced by this fire. You guys were the church this year. I'm so proud to be a part of it. I'm so excited that God is up to new things too. But here's the thing. All of that in the background, all of that in the rear view, because it feels really good to have participated with God in his mission, sometimes, and I'm not saying necessarily us, I'm just speaking generally, there are some churches that could really just kind of rest on those laurels, you know, like mere mortals. They can just kind of settle in and go like, things are good. Let's just stay right here. I think it's possible for the church, and it's possible for us, to choose to just stay right on this mountain. And yet the word that came to the Israelites through Moses, I think, is the same word that we need today. Moses, in this passage, he's right at the end of his life. He's telling the people, after they have wandered around for 38 years, he's telling them what's next. This is kind of his farewell speech in Deuteronomy, and he begins by telling them that it's time, through the word of the Lord, it's time for them to move forward. He says, we've been here for 11 months at this mountain. They had come through the waters of the Red Sea. God had miraculously, if you remember these stories, set them free from Egypt. The slavery that they had been under and oppressed by for 400 years was starting to wear off. God had done some incredible things at that mountain. In the scripture, it calls it Horeb. Another word for it is Mount Sinai. And that's where God had done some miraculous things, given them the law, the Ten Commandments happened there. He had fed them in incredible ways. Do you remember with manna, that word that means, what is it? Which is super original. Manna, bread that fell from heaven, and they captured and collected every day to feed themselves. They had shoes that didn't wear out. God had done unbelievable things at Sinai. But now he says, it's time for you to move. And moving meant that they were going to have to confront some things in themselves, and I think confronting some things that you and I have to face down even today. See, what keeps us from advancing into the future that God has for us, whether it's a group like the Israelites or you and me and our individual families, what keeps us from moving forward to all God has is always the same. It's three things. It's comfort, it's fear, and it's the success of the past. For them, it was comfort. They had had their families put together. Remember, they had left now. Egypt was in the rear view, and they had finally had a chance to just breathe. Nobody was chasing them. Nobody was beating them with whips. Nobody was forcing them to make bricks. They had begun to have families and settle in and settle down. And it got kind of comfortable. God had provided for them there. And I'm sure that there were people in that crowd that just didn't want to change. They just felt like this was good enough. You ever felt that way? Kind of get in a spot and it's like your favorite chair. It's just, this is good enough. Let's just stay right here. Breaking camp was uncomfortable. Any of you campers? When you go out, you know, it's so fun whenever you kind of sit around the campfire at night and you tell the stories and you have your beverages and you cook your food and then you go to sleep under the stars. It's great. You know what's the worst part about camping? I mean, besides deciding to actually go and sleep outside for weeks. The worst part is the next morning when you have to pull the tent pegs up and roll up your sleeping bag and your mat and you gotta, in your mind, the trek you're gonna have to make to get to the next step. Breaking camp is not fun, is it? That's not the part. We do that in order to experience the rest. And God said to the people, you're gonna have to break camp right here. All this that you're comfortable with, you gotta pull up, begin the process of leaving what was familiar, what felt like home, what felt safe. See, because that's the next thing that usually keeps us from moving forward is fear that it's not safe. And he spoke to them really clearly. Remember he said in that, you're going to go up to the hill country of the Amorites? Everybody knew the Amorites. They were dastardly people, violent group that were a plague in the Israelite side forever. And he doesn't list all the other tribes, but there were lots of other fierce enemies that they knew they were going to have to face if they chose to move. But there were also some enemies that were unknown to them. They had no idea if the land they were supposed to go to could support them or not. They had no idea, besides the Amorites, who else might be lurking. They knew that they were going to have to make a climb. See, the base of Mount Sinai is at the very bottom of the Sinai Peninsula, and they were going to physically have to walk uphill to get to where God had called them. It was going to be a journey, an adventure, and it was scary. But then, it's not just their comfort or their fear. It was also the thing that so often keeps you and I stuck. And maybe this has been true for you if you ran a business or in your family or maybe in your faith, and that is the success of the past. The places in the past where God provided, where he showed up. Literally, they had seen God's glory and power come down on that mountain. When you read the scripture, it says there was lightning and thunder and a storm cloud. And they saw the glory of God. Like, I'm talking about literal glory days were around that mountain. And now he says, you got to get up and move from here. And it's kind of interesting. It's so easy to live in our success of the past. I was thinking about, I went to my 20-year high school reunion several years ago. I won't tell you how many, but it was more than a couple. And at that 20-year reunion, maybe you felt this too. I showed up and I saw the people, like there was the baseball guys. And some of them, I'm not kidding, it's as if nothing else had happened in their life in that last 20 years. They were still talking about that 3-2 count where he stood up and swung with everything and knocked one out of the park. It was like he peaked at 17. And then there was the girl, and don't look up my high school, but you know, she was voted most popular or most pretty or whatever the superlative was, and she's still trading on that, although she did not look the same. And we just live in the success of the past sometimes, because it feels good. And what we totally miss is the adventure that God wants to move us into, fear of the unknown. There's another word for that. When God says to move and you and I are afraid, it's not that we shouldn't have fear. It comes up. But the inability to move in the face of that fear is called unbelief. Unbelief is a sin. To not trust God at his word when he's telling us where he's taking us, to stay planted and rooted in the past because we're comfortable or we're afraid or we just want to relive the glory days is actually sin. And churches can do that. A.W. Tozer one time said something like this: churches can get in a rut, and a rut is just a grave with the ends kicked out. So, we have this opportunity in 2025 to move forward, to break camp and advance, because you stayed around this mountain long enough. Maybe Maybe we've stayed not just collectively around this mountain, but maybe in your own life, you could apply this individually. Maybe there's a place in your life that you've been just, and the word that's used here is encircling. You've encircled this mountain long enough. Maybe for you, you've been in a season where you've had to just heal. It's been grief and it's been difficult. And if that's you, if God's got you in that place right now, you stay there next to him as long as it takes. But for most of us, we get stuck not because he's trying to still do healing in our life that's needed. We get stuck because just like the Israelites, we get comfortable. And so I wonder if there's in your mind, maybe there's a pattern of thinking you've developed, a habit, like cyclical rumination or something that you just choose not to get over. And maybe today he's saying, you've been around that mountain long enough. Give it to me. Let's walk forward in advance. Maybe you've had an addiction. You've had a place of bondage in your life. And you know that you've just been circling round and round and round. And today you could hear the word of God say to you, break camp. Let's move forward and advance. Maybe it's you've been doing life on your own. Like you've just been the king of your own little kingdom and you've just done it your way. And you know, even if nobody else can tell, that your way is not working. You are just circling round and round and round. And maybe it's time for you to advance. Held back by the fear of the unknown or the future, content to tell the same stories. Maybe it's just a spiritual comfort you've gotten to. Like you've gotten pretty good at this level of walking with Jesus. And you got your set, your routine, your Bible study, your prayer, whatever, and it's just comfortable. And you've forgotten the thrill of telling somebody with fresh eyes and desperation in their heart. You've forgotten what it's like to share the good news of Jesus. Maybe you've created just a situation around you where it's all the people who think the same way that you do. And you've got your Christian mechanic and your Christian barber and your Christian all, and it's just that, and it feels good, and I get it. And maybe God is saying to you today, like, there's more land to be taken. Move forward. Don't stay here. Well, a level of spirituality that we've gotten comfortable with can lead us to actually kind of paralysis. I don't know exactly what it is for you. My guess is right now, God might be speaking to you something, an area in your life, a mountain that you've been around long enough. Do you have one? Is there something that you can think about right now that's your mountain, that you're ready to move on? Is there a part of you that's even coming alive now as God, the Holy Spirit, speaks to you as I'm talking, that maybe it doesn't have to stay this way? Do you feel that? What's it going to take to move forward? See, God had said to them, just like he says to you and me, see, I have given you this land. Do you see that? It's already done. God has already marked out for you and for me, just like he did for them, a territory, a place that he wants to give us, a place that we're supposed to go. His mission does not stop. And his mission is always bigger and more unimaginable than you and I could ever contemplate. His mission now, see, the land that he was giving them was geographical. It was hilly. It was between those rivers we mentioned. It was a place. And for you and me now, Christians, the geography that we're to go to, that he says, I have given, now go take possession, that is the geography of the heart. Now it's about seeing his mission come to people, and there are enemies camped around them. There are people as big as the Amalekites or the Amorites or things in their life that are stopping them from it. And it's things like hopelessness, and it's things like an addiction to substance or to self or to any of the other things that plague us. There are giants and enemies, but God says, I've given it to you already. Now just go possess it. So what we have to do is trust these two things that are necessary. Two things that are necessary for us to see, to move into the future, to experience what God wants. One of them is guaranteed, and the other is up to you and me. The first is his faithfulness. Can you trust his faithfulness? I'm telling you, even if you have fear about it, like the idea of talking, finally having that conversation with the person that you just know God's been wanting you to speak the good news to, His faithfulness will accompany you there. He's already given you the land. His faithfulness is a foregone conclusion, but our obedience is what hangs in the balance. Do we have the courage? Do we have the will? Will we have the desire to say, God, even if it's scary, I believe that it's safer to be in enemy territory with you than to stay around this mountain without you? Because his mission doesn't stop. It's not going to stop for our church, and it's not going to stop in your life. You can't do it on your own. That's his faithfulness. You can't. But you have to own what you can do. You and I cannot do this on our own. It requires his Spirit to go with them. If the Israelites had just taken off on their own, no chance that it succeeds. But if he's with you, there is no chance then you can fail. You know this, right? If God has it in mind, if he's decreed it, no one can stop it. And if he didn't, no one can make it happen. But if he's going with you, will you and I be obedient to say, yes, this is what happened to the Israelites? If you read the story, they didn't move. They spent that 11 months. Moses said, it's time to advance. And they waited around for 38 years. Remember that little parenthesis when we read it? It said, and he just kind of threw it in there. Like the walk from here to Kadesh Barnea is supposed to take 11 days. And instead it took 38 years. Folks, we don't have 38 years. Most of us don't have 38 years, literally, but we don't have 38 years to wait. It is too urgent. There are people that need Jesus all around you and me that are leaving this planet without their eternal destiny settled. Or it is settled. But it's not the land he called us to. So my question is, will we be obedient? And when we are, we get to see him do amazing things. There's this story in John. I'm going to read it to you real quick and tell it to you real fast. But it's kind of like the correlating story to this. See, Jesus comes on the scene hundreds of years later, and he's now living out the story of the Israelites. That's what Jesus' life was. He was doing all the things they were supposed to do, but didn't, and he does it perfectly. And there's this moment where he comes upon this man, and this man is representative. It's a real person, a real thing that happened. Because when Jesus goes into the future, he always accomplishes. He's always faithful. He always shows up. So it happened for this man. Look at this. It says, a certain man was there. Jesus is around this pool. And in this pool, there's this legend that people would be healed when they got in the pool. And the thing about it is there was an angel that they believed stirred the waters up. So when the water would get all rustly, if you jump in the pool first, you'd be healed. There's this guy. It says he was sitting there with an infirmity for 38 years. Sound familiar? 38 years. And he's waiting to get healed. When Jesus saw him lying there and knew that he had already been in that condition a long time, Jesus knows where you are. He said to him, do you want to be made well? The sick man answered him with an excuse. Sir, it didn't feel like an excuse to him. He literally couldn't walk. Sir, I don't have anybody to put me in the pool when the water gets stirred up. And while I'm coming, somebody else races down the steps before me. Sir, I can't do it. And Jesus says, rise up, take up your bed, and walk. And immediately, 38 years of going around the same mountain of I can't get past this, I can't overcome this, I can't do it on my own. 38 years, in one moment, Jesus says, will you trust me? Will you obey? Stand up, take up your bed, and walk. Now think about it for just a moment. I know when we look back and read this story, and you can probably guess what's gonna happen, right? Well, you can't because it's on the screen. Immediately, he gets healed. Jesus does his part. He does what only he can do. The question is, would the man do what he could? Can you imagine? It's possible that after 38 years of that, he was a little nervous to stand up. What if I look like a fool? What if I don't have the strength in my legs? What if this guy's a lunatic? But he obeys, he stands up, and his life is never the same. Jesus does what only he can do. This man, you and me, We have to choose to do what we can do and to own it. And he's still doing this kind of stuff. And he wants to do more of this stuff. Let me tell you one story as I close. We've seen in the last year around here, like multiple times, stories of people getting healed, people getting set free from stuff. I mean, God's really been active and at work. But I want to share one that happened just a couple weeks ago. Thursday nights, we do practice rehearsal for this service. And our amazing choir, they meet and they rehearse. And our modern worship team, it's amazing. They meet and rehearse. And I do, I don't know, something. I look at slides or whatever and just kind of walk around all happy. And we had rehearsal a couple weeks ago. And Michael asked if I would come in and just open up their choir rehearsal in prayer. I'm like, sure. And I walk up to the front and literally this thought hits me. Man, you should have thought about asking a pastor to just open in prayer. I got all night. And I said, I just felt it. I heard like God say, ask if somebody needs to be prayed for healing. So I did. I mean, one big thing for me, I just, hey, God, I feel like God asked if I should pray for somebody. Does anybody need to be healed? And anybody struggling physically? And a couple people mentioned it. And one lady in our choir, I could see her, and she's like getting emotional. And she goes, yeah, I need prayer. I got tumors in my lungs. And I haven't told anybody yet. See, she had had a tumor in her lung over a year ago that they had had to treat and deal with, and now it had come back. And she felt the same symptoms, and the fear came back, and the discomfort came back, and she knew. She went and had an x-ray, and sure enough, tumors again. And that night, she says, it's me. So I don't know what God uses or who he uses, but she comes up front, and a couple of us lay hands on her, and we pray for her, and she goes back to the choir, and they sing, and I go home all like, all right, God. Next day, I get an email. I'm just going to read it to you. She says, couldn't wait to share with you this story. As you probably know, last year I had a large tumor removed from my lung. Then I started to have the same symptoms, and an x-ray showed it was back. I went to choir last night thinking that I wasn't going to talk to anyone about this until I knew more. I hadn't even mentioned it to my closest friends and family. So when you said you wanted to pray for someone struggling with physical issues, I couldn't believe it. I knew the Holy Spirit was prompting me, although reluctantly, to raise my hand. That moment of decision. This morning I woke up and I couldn't feel anything. I had no pain or other symptoms. So I convinced my doctor to do an x-ray on a Friday, by the way, without an appointment. Miracle. Just got the results back. Fastest in medical history. Some of you who are doctors or medical, you'll understand this. Findings, impression. The lungs are clear. No pleural effusions are seen. The cardiomediastinal silhouette is normal. I mean, this is what happens when you choose to be obedient, to just say, yes, God, I'm going with you. For her, it was a big step. It may feel like small to us, but she decided to stand up and say, yeah, it's me, I'll be prayed for. Maybe for you, it's to stand up and say, I'll speak to my neighbor. Maybe to you, it's to say, I'll give to support that. Maybe for you, it's I'll lead a kids group or a student group, or I'll jump in and push the boundaries of my discomfort. I don't know what it is, but I know that God's word for you and me today is break camp and advance. Because he has given us land, now go take possession of it. Can you imagine if next year at this time, we're rehearsing this and talking about the stories? I hope we have videos of it. The stories of people that right now are not part of this church, they're not part of the family of God, but you're going to say yes, and you're going to speak the gospel to them, and they're going to have their lives changed. Can you imagine us telling that next year at an annual meeting? At a Vision Sunday where we say, look, we simply did our part. We were vessels to be used by God, and look what he did. Can you imagine what that would feel like? If you can't, you can keep wandering around for 38 years. But I'm not staying here. And I hope you're not either. Let's pray. Father, thank you for all the good that you have done. The good that you have done in us, the good that you are doing through us. God, we thank you for every name of someone that was baptized this year, every story of marriages that got put back together this year. For every teenager that boldly chose to live out their faith this year. For the ones that are choosing to take their faith with them into their college experience instead of leaving it behind, thank you. God, thank you for the places and the spaces where you showed up like lightning and thunder. You blew us away with your goodness. And God, we ask that we wouldn't be satisfied, comfortable to just stay here. There's so much more I know that you want to do. And God, we don't know what it's going to take. We don't know what enemies are between us and that. We don't know how hard the climb is going to be, but I know this, that Jesus, that day when you healed that man by the pool, that was just the beginning. It was just a sign. Because after that, you walked that hill and you faced the enemies of death and of sin and of guilt and of the grave for us. And because of that, we're not only free, but we're free to advance. So, oh God, would you come in power this year on our church? Would you make us a group of people that's willing to pull up the tent pegs and roll up the mat and walk in whatever direction you say we're walking? Would you build our confidence and faith in you along the way? And would you do again what you always do? Would you be faithful that your word will not return void, that your mission cannot be thwarted, and that wherever we say yes to go with you is safer because you're with us. Lord, we ask that you would do mighty things in each of us this year. And we pray in the strong and beautiful and resurrected name of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, to whom belongs all the glory, Jesus. And all God's people said, amen. 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 I'm going to ask you to stand to your feet, and here's what's going to happen next. We're going to play a little highlight video for the year. It's going to be 5-6 minutes. If you are a member, covenant partner, we really want you to stick around, because this is going to be the business portion of the meeting. We're going to have enough time for you to go get a little biological break, you know, whatever you need. And then get back in here, and we're going to start the meeting in about 5-6 minutes. If you're not a member, a covenant partner yet, it's okay. We'd love for you to hear, to stay and be a part of what's going to happen. Because if you can make it through this annual meeting, then there's lunch prepared for you on the other side of it. So, like, it's worth it, you know? But no matter what, here's my prayer for you today as you go, as we take this break. May you be filled with the obedience, with the courage, with the faith, and with the desire to see God lead you into the future he already has marked out for you. May you walk it out this week in big ways and small, and may you sense God's presence with you everywhere you go.